it opposes basically any sections that could have a negative effect on the English community or places an administrative burden on small business. So that's quite a broad brush. Is there any sections in particular that you're very concerned with?
Well, I agree with you. They're broad brush at this point. And I think we felt we needed to be fairly broad. In particular, the concerns that I've heard, and certainly the night at that RAWQ meeting, were not to have a cap put on the percentage of students for post-secondary education in the Pontiac that could study in English. Secondly, because we think that's very discriminatory, we want all of our students to be able to pursue post-secondary education. Secondly, we've really heard from small businesses with COVID and everything else have had such a challenge. You know, most of them, fortunately, have remained afloat and are still in business. But this is just yet another red tape, bureaucratic step that causes people to feel that they're really not welcome here in the Pontiac. And I think in particular about our agricultural community, which perhaps it's a bit of a coincidence, but many of them are English speaking and they're around the Shawville-Clarendon area. And when they receive information from the CPTAQ that is only in French, you know, they need to get someone to translate it. And this is something we've been fighting for a long time. I mean, we all choose to live in Quebec because it is a wonderful province, but it needs to be inclusive. And my concern long-term for this province is that if we are so discriminatory and so limited and just have a policy that causes English-speaking people to see that there will be challenges ahead, they will choose another province to invest in and move to. And so I think it's a little bit of a concerning experiment on the part of the government because, and yet, as I said, I have met personally with Matthew Lacombe and Genevieve Gilbo, and they have both assured me that they do want bilingualism. We do want to promote, you know, keeping, having English-speaking people here, and that they think even in their government, they need more English-speaking people. So the third issue just taps on just quality of life. And I think in particular for medical services and going to a hospital, if you are critically ill, you need to understand what your options are, and you need to understand what treatments are going to be given to you. And you know, you shouldn't have to bring along a translator. And so I think it's important that we push back and that we make these points. You know, I'm an English speaking person. I've been here for I've been here since approximately 2013, but living here full time since about 2016. And, you know, in the last 4 years, I've done my best to become bilingual, and I'm almost there. And I just encourage all English speaking people to learn another language and to learn French. It's only going to enhance your life. But what we find concerning is just how, with Law 96 as it stands, it will have a serious impact on some people who at this point are unilingual.
And just sort of jumping off that as a corollary, do you see any aspects of this bill that could be beneficial, that you see as a good idea?
Yes, I think that it's very important to preserve French culture. I think that one thing that Quebec and Newfoundland have going for themselves is they have done a great job at preserving their historical culture. Other parts of Canada, I can't say the same. It's like a big melting pot. It's very multicultural. And if someone were to say, what is the Canadian identity here? Well, our Canadian identity is that we're multicultural. You know, in some of our cities, there's 130 languages spoken. So, you know, I understand the importance of Law 96, but I also need, as the warden of the Pontiac, as the warden of an area that identified to be almost 60% first language English in the last census, someone has to stand up for our English-speaking population, and I choose to do that.